We are in Revelation chapter number 8, and we have arrived at that moment in this first vision, the vision of the scroll of God's final wrath, when that wrath actually begins. Now, from time to time, I'm going to go ahead and speculate here about things that I think are better seen elsewhere. And that is when the sixth seal is broken, and we have the sun go dark and the moon turn blood red, and angels are falling from the sky like stars, like meteors. That's the kickoff to the final 3.5 years. So it comes with an awful lot of amazing sights and sounds. It just now occurred to me I should read to you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, because I think it describes in another form the kickoff of the final 3.5 years, the day of the Lord, with such spectacular things. 1 Thessalonians 5, starting at verse 1. Brethren, you have no need to be written in regard to time periods and time events, for you know very well that the day of Yahweh, that is, the day of the Lord, comes like a thief in the night. Even as they say, peace and stability, then suddenly destruction will come upon them like labor pains upon a pregnant woman. They will not escape. So it would appear, when you put everything together, that life will be going on pretty much like, quote, normal, end quote. It still may be bad, but it will be like normal human history, until suddenly that sixth seal is broken, and the sun goes dark, the moon goes blood red, the stars or the fallen angels are falling from the sky, and then everybody knows and understands it's a big deal. The final phase has started. The final 3.5 years of God's day of the Lord has begun. Now, the next thing, though, in the vision of the scroll of God's final wrath is the breaking of the seventh seal. And that marks the beginning of the end of the 3.5 years. I actually think it begins the last 6 months of the 3.5 years before Jesus comes back. This is when God orchestrates 7 specific wrath events against those that are part of the kingdom of the beast leader, the final world ruler, that bad guy that was on the white horse of seal number 1, the guy that's been responsible during a 3-year period, I think, for killing off a quarter of the world population because he's trying to get rid of anybody that's on Jesus' side. And so when we begin chapter number 8, it's God's turn. The bad guy has done everything up to that point in the story, but now it's God's turn. Before we start reading in chapter 8, let me remind you again, for those of you that have a bit of an issue with fear, don't be afraid. None of this is targeted against believers. It's like the plagues in Egypt. They were targeted against the gods and goddesses of the Egyptian pantheon and those that believed in them. The Israelis were excused. They were immune to all 10 plagues. And in the same way, the wrath of God that we see here in the book of Revelation will pass over any believers that are still around. And so you don't need to be worried about that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And I want to remind you as well of the promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that you should have memorized. No time of testing has come upon you except that which is common to all mankind. God is faithful in that he will not permit you to be tested beyond what you are able, and with that testing, he will provide a way of that a way of escape that you might be able to endure it. Now, the way that you escape might be through physical death, but God promises he will never allow any of us to have more than what we can handle. So if you or I happen to be here seeing some of these things happen in person, we can be sure we can handle it. So make sure that you've got your heart set on that understanding of Scripture. Now back to Revelation 8. When the Lamb opened the seventh seal, there was silence in the heaven for about half an hour. I think that was a thoughtful getting ready for what comes next moment. Then I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and seven trumpets were given to them. These are the ones that will trumpet, signaling the seven wrath events. One at a time, they will trumpet, and then the bowl of wrath, that's how it will be described in our other vision stream, will be poured out. So another angel then came, and he stood at the altar with a golden censer. He was given much incense to offer with the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar before the throne, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints rose before God from the hand of the angel. And then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire from the altar and threw it on the earth, and there were peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, and an earthquake. And so this is how the final period of the day of the Lord begins. I think it's the last 6 months before Jesus comes, but whenever it happens, it kicks off with a lot of noise and a lot of supernatural signs and wonders. Peals of thunder, rumblings, flashes of lightning, earthquake. And everybody on planet Earth has already been warned by this time, don't throw your lot in with the beast leader and his kingdom, or you will face the wrath of God. Now, we don't see that in this vision stream. We're looking at the more abbreviated story here. The scroll of God's final wrath. When we get to the vision of the long-term battle between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, we will see the public service announcements, angelic service, public service announcements, making sure everybody understands, if you take the mark, there is no coming back from that. You're on the wrong side of the war, and you will come under the wrath. So here, we know that that is about to happen. The wrath is about to be poured out. Verse number 6. Now, the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared to blow them. And keep in mind that the signal trumpet that we see here is exactly parallel to the pouring out of the bowl later. They're not different, they're the same. And if you look, you can see the parallel language. In fact, in my Living the Last Days Prophecy Seminar notes, which is in the PDF resources section of intotheword.net, I parallel them where you can see the exact wording in both passages. All right, verse number 7. The first angel blew his trumpet, and there followed hail and fire mixed with blood, and these were thrown upon the earth. So the first bit of God's wrath is targeted against the land where people are living. And I think it's specifically the land where those who have taken the mark of the beast are living, in his kingdom. And so hail was often used in the Old Testament as a supernatural artillery barrage, and sometimes it might have fire or lightning mixed in with it. Here it's got blood because of judgment. And so this is a literal event. and it impacts upon the property that it hits. It says a third of the earth was burned up, and a third of the land of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. So this really scorches the territory where this is happening. Now, third, just from a perspective of ratios, a third is a significant minority. A tenth is a small minority, a quarter is a larger minority, and a third is a pretty big minority, all right? So a very significant part of planet Earth apparently gets hit by this plague, by this strike. And I believe, as I'm going to keep repeating, that it's mostly targeted against the kingdom of the beast leader and those that took the mark. In fact, in the parallel, the first bowl, it's the people with the mark of the beast that get this painful sore from where they took the mark. And so I think that's related here. It's the opening salvo on God's judgment. Verse number 8. The second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea, and a third of the sea became blood. And when you go to the other vision stream, same thing happens. It's the saltwater sea that gets hit with the second wrath event. In this case, this great mountain burning with fire, some people think that this might be a meteor hitting the ocean, or a comet hitting the ocean. Those would definitely be very big deals. But I'm also intrigued by this possibility an earthquake that dislodges a large portion of a piece of the continent or an island could slide that down into the ocean and have this be like some sort of volcanic event. So that would be the fire part. And that would definitely cause a huge tidal wave, which I believe is probably part of the reason for the destruction we read in the next verse. That a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Now, a third of the living creatures will be paralleled in the second wrath event, where it's the pouring out of the bowls, as in all creatures in the ocean died. And that should be understood in the idea all types of creatures in the ocean died. Here we find out that the number was about a third of the total. And what's going on here is probably whatever this is, meteor, comet, or massive volcanic landslide. It triggers a tidal wave, which then goes up on the shore and then, of course, backwashes, bringing all sorts of junk and sewage and things with it. And we know that when this happens on a much smaller scale, that this sometimes will trigger a red tide. And a red tide is this algae bloom, plankton bloom, and that will deplete the usable oxygen, and it kills animals off, kills the water creatures off really bad. And so this may be exactly how this takes place. And a third of the ships, well, you know, if they happen to be in the damage zone, the destruction zone, they're not going to fare well. Now, again, is this on a worldwide scale? Maybe. And it's possible, and I've actually seen some projections by secular scientists that if there's this island in the Canaries chain off of, I think it's off Spain, Palma, I think is the name of the island. It's volcanic, and if it were to blow and cause this slide, this landslide into the the eastern Atlantic, that it would kick up a huge series of tidal waves that would go all the way across the Atlantic and cause, by their estimates, and remember, these are secular scientists that are they're theorizing this without any reference whatsoever to what we're talking about here. They said it will cause tidal waves probably still 200 feet tall on the east coast of North America and slightly shorter down on South America and also along the African coast as well. And so that the Atlantic would become a destruction basin. And the Atlantic is about a third of the world ocean, and about a third of the shipping comes through that whole area. So maybe, again, this is a lot of speculation. Remember our introduction, we talked about the idea that unless we are specifically told that something is fulfilled and how it's fulfilled, we're left at speculation, and therefore we can't be dogmatic about it. So just throwing it out there for food for thought that that's possibly how this could come to pass in those different ways. Verse number 10. Again, before I go on, the target zone, I believe, for all of these wrath events is against those that have taken the mark of the beast. They are followers of that final world ruler, even after they'd been warned not to. Verse number 10, the third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. So the first wrath event was against the land and against the plants of the land. The second wrath event was against the salt water ocean. This event is against the fresh water sources, the rivers and the streams and the springs. It does, again, sound like something maybe like a meteor or a comet that is doing this. And the name of this star was called Wormwood. It's actually some sort of herb is the word that gets used here. It makes things bitter. And so a third of the waters became wormwood, or bitter, and many people died from the water because it had been made bitter. So freshwater sources, people depend on them, and God basically puts his judgment on these freshwater sources, I think, for those that have taken the mark of the beast and who are living inside the boundaries, the clear boundaries of the beast leader's kingdom. In the parallel that we'll eventually get to with the pouring out of the third bowl of wrath, it's at this point that the martyrs under the altar say, that's fair. They poured our blood out onto the earth in killing us, and now you, God, have given them blood to drink. Because in that parallel, it talks about the water being turned blood red and being made bitter. So very interesting that God is responding to the outright rebellion of the other side by killing his people. One more thing before I move on here. We will discover when we get into the next vision stream that there are two people orchestrating these events for God in much the same way that Moses and Aaron orchestrated the 10 wrath events known as the 10 plagues against Egypt. So that back at that time, Moses and Aaron announced ahead of time, this is what God's going to do. And then it happened. I'm guessing that the two witnesses that we will meet in chapter number 11 will be doing exactly that, announcing each event before it happens. And it is an interesting parallel that one of the things that God did in the land of Egypt was turn the Nile River blood red and make it impossible for the bad Egyptians to have fresh water to drink for a period of time, while the Israelis had no problem. They had fresh water. God protected them. And so I think that's exactly what will happen here in the book of Revelation during the day of the Lord, that God's people during this time will not be touched by these plagues. Verse number 12. The fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of their light might be darkened, and a third of the day might be kept from shining, and likewise a third of the night. Now it sounds to me like God affects the atmosphere at this point, because it's a matter of how much light reaches ground level during this particular plague. So something happens perhaps to the thickness of the atmosphere, or light rays are affected in some way, so that the sun looks about a third less bright than it usually is. The moon looks a third less bright than it usually does, and the stars look a third less bright than they usually do. And in the parallel stream, the fourth bowl of God's wrath does strike the earth again, does strike the sun as well. But in this case, it makes the sun burn people. And some people go, well, isn't that kind of the opposite that we're seeing here in verse number 12 of this vision stream, with the sun's actually a third less strong? And then I will remind you that if you go out on a cloudy day where the sun is less bright than it usually is, you can still get a really bad sunburn if you don't pay attention, because the X-rays, the rays that cause sunburn and sun and skin cancer, they don't get blocked by the clouds. And so I would guess that something like that occurs in the fourth wrath event. Less visible light, but more dangerous X-rays. Verse number 13. Then I looked. This is John, remember. And I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead. So we have a little bit of extra bit of information pop through here. John looks up in the sky because he sees an eagle flying over. Now, is it an actual eagle, or is it possibly the seraphim who has the eagle face, eagle head? Remember, the seraphim are the four living creatures around God's throne. But whatever it is, it's a messenger from God, clearly, because this is what the eagle says. Woe, woe, woe. And it is pretty much exactly that idea. It's a sad cry. Why? It's expressing something bad, okay? It's an expression of the gut, of the heart, of the emotion. Woe to those who dwell on the earth at the blasts of the other trumpets that the three angels are about to blow. So effectively, this angelic messenger says, you ain't seen nothing yet. Now, think about that. We've already had a third of the earth scorched, a third of the salt water been impacted, a third of the fresh water impacted, and we're also having the sun, moon, and stars being blockaded from being fully effective. So it's been pretty bad already. But God's messenger warns there's more to come, and it gets tougher. And it's all directed against those that have rebelled against God so much that they took the mark of the beast, against his clear warning not to do so. Chapter 9 we'll barely get started on, but chapter 9 is very interesting because it is the only wrath event that has a time put to it, which is what helps me say that these wrath events must take place over about a six-month period, because this event lasts for 5 months specifically. Verse number 1 of chapter 9, the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth. This would be an angel in a poetic description. He was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. I believe that this is probably a bad angel. And this bad angel wants to do nasty things. And the nasty thing that God allows him to do is arrange for a prison break. Because the bottomless pit that we're talking about here is where all the worst angels, demonic beings, have been kept under lock and key throughout history. You may remember some demons one time said, "Don't throw us into the abyss. Let us go into those pigs over there." Because this is the ultimate penitentiary for the worst of the fallen angels. Mark your place. We'll get back here next time we get into the Word.